Okay, the world is being prepped for the mark of the beast. We talked about the false prophet, which is the deception, which is going to be the deceiver that deceives the whole world, right? That's his goal. That's what he's going to do. He's going to deceive and he's going to deceive those that take the mark of the beast, that worship the beast. And we're not really going to discuss what the mark is, but what we are going to talk about is the prep work for the mark. That prep work that takes place for the mark, okay? That actually prepares people for that. And it's always been going on. That spirit of Antichrist has always been in the world, okay? The Bible says that. So the work is already being done, but it's being prepared. Listen, Satan has his churches. If you remember right what the book of Revelation talks about, he says, "And I know where Satan's seat is." And he said, "I know that those that say they are Jews and they're not, but they're of the synagogue of Satan." And there's some verses I'll show you on that too as well, that talk about that. Now, what's really interesting is if you say something like that, people say, "Well, you must hate Israel." Well, God must too then, because I just read it from his word and that's what he said. Okay, so I'm reading right what he said from the Bible. So to make that accusation is very foolish. People make accusations like that. And it's just ridiculous. Anyway, so Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 16. "And he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, there's the number of the beast. It says here, that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So we're going to show you some things that kind of go along with that number, and that 666 that's there, that is so common, and images and things that are seen in this world. Now, understand, a lot of this is not going to be like the other two messages where they're all Bible verses and things like that. This is going to be just kind of relating the times and what's going on and what's taking place here in our world today. And I do believe that the world is being prepared to take the mark. I don't pretend to understand the mark of the beast and what it's exactly going to be to its fullest. I don't think any of us know that. I don't think anybody really knows that at all. But what we can do is kind of get an idea from some things that are happening and some hints that are being dropped by the occult that is lining them up and showing who they really are and who they're aligned with. And there's a lot of people that have this imagery and things like that we'll talk about. But some of the other things I want to talk to you about first, just nothing, you know, too deep or anything, but number one, I think through the world is being prepared to receive the mark and the one world government through blind allegiance and dependency on the government. I think that's the first way where we see that. Have you noticed how it's basically the government is got to be the source for everything now? That's what's being told everybody. We have many people in America today and around the world that are being taught to be patriotic even above biblical principles. I mean, you have evangelists, you have pastors, you have everybody, you have them parading troops through, you have this patriot where you gotta stay the course, you gotta be patriotic, you gotta stand up for the flag, you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you gotta do all of these things. I believe most of that is just preparation. I believe that's preparing this allegiance to the state. It's an allegiance issue. You won't find a Pledge of Allegiance to a nation anywhere in the scriptures. You won't. But if you say something about it, then what happens? People get upset about it. Why? Why would they be upset about it? I believe one of the newest religions of the day is statism. Statism. Listen, we see it back in the book of Daniel. We see it in the scriptures. We see that all the world will wonder after the beast, right? The Bible says that beast will be that fourth kingdom that shall arise will be a greater kingdom than all. And all of these preceding kingdoms and all these preceding governments are leading up to that one government that they're waiting for. And all of this is setting up people to look to the government to take a mark to be able to make it through or get their help that they need. Remember, to buy, to sell, to do whatever, to trade, to do whatever, that's... There's a blind loyalty to America today that is staggering. It's absolutely staggering, this blind loyalty to America. You think about this, we have so many people that are on welfare or Obamacare or anything else that is forced on the public. What does that do? You take millions of people and you're trying to force them to be dependent upon the government. Why? Why? Well, because everything will be up to the government, that one world government. And you'll have to get your substance, your mark, everything will have to be got from him. That's what it's leading up to. Government replaces God. That's what the goal is. That's what Satan's goal always was, to replace God. Ye shall be as gods. That's the goal. Forced to take an insurance policy. Forced to purchase things that are not right to purchase. Americans not rebelling against the evilness of the day, but following what the government says to a T. Just blindly following the government is a prep work for accepting the mark of the beast. If we will accept the government can use force to force us to purchase things, it starts a habit that will only get worse. What people will accept will be what kills them from their government. Millions being dependent today on food stamps and unemployment. Millions. Millions. Now listen, I'm not against unemployment if you need it. I'm not saying that, okay? Don't misunderstand. The point is that they're setting things up for someone to be dependent upon those things. Because the way the market, the way they have forced things into the market, the way they have set things up. Putting us in the mindset to accept the mark from a one world government. Well, listen now, what do we have? We have a social security number. We have a tax identification number. We have all of these numbers that are instituted. No, none of those are the mark of the beast. But what they are setting you up. Well, everybody has to have this number. Right? Everybody needs a number. Now, I'm not saying don't have it. My point is that's... No, you can't. You'll never get a loan. You'll never get an apartment. You'll never get all those things without a social security number. And they know that. What is that? That's a precursor to the mark. You can't buy or sell or do anything without it. But it's not the mark. But it's just a precursor to it. It's preparing. It's prepping. Do you understand? Most of this stuff is all psychological as far as getting people into a mindset of doing things. It's part of mind control. That's what it's a part of. It's part of using, framing things and making people think a certain way. Amen. How about this? Another way that we're being set up for that. We have this thirst for war and death. Constantly you're being bombarded with war and death. Why? Because in the end times, those that will take the mark will wander after the beast. Who is able to make war with the beast? War is going to be so, they're going to love him for his war prowess. What are we seeing today? Americans, out there cheering the death of Muslims. Yeah. Cheering the death of people that are dying and going to hell. Christians! That are cheering the death of people. You know, there's little babies and little kids that are being killed too. It's not just, there's not just big boys and big girls that get killed. You understand that, right? People die. And that's not something to be happy about. Amen. Not for us. My brother Finney talks about a famous evangelist that he talked to that's really a popular evangelist, and he wrote a lot of books on the King James Bible and everything and defense of the King James Bible and things like that. And Brother Finney talked to this man and he told him, he said this man had posters up about, You know, man, we're going to get the Muslims and send people over, send, you know, kids get into the military and send them over and all this other stuff, you know, send them over to war and, you know, this kind of stuff. And Brother Finney, he took him off to the side after a meeting and he said, you know, I love your book on the King James and everything, your books, but he said, you're wrong about this war. You're wrong about this war mentality. And he offered to give him his book, God Betrayed, that talks about, that explains a lot of different things and all those kind of things through. And guess what? He said, no, I won't read it. I won't read it. Why? Because these guys, because there's people that are more, we're being trained to be more patriotic than biblical. Yeah. Being more, why? What is that setting it up for? For you to accept the government when they come to you and say, now listen, you know, you accepted the Social Security, you accepted this, you accepted that. All of them are steps and stages. Now, you got to take the mark. You got to take the mark. And lost people will take it. They will. They'll just follow it hook, line, and sinker. Amen. You know, another thing is a wrong interpretation of Romans chapter 13. There are so many pastors out there today that are training people and teaching people this undying submission to the government. This loyalty to the government above loyalty to God. Stuff, they say stuff like, well, you know, there's a pastor out there right now, and I like the man, I really do. I've learned a lot from him. He's a good man. But I believe he's wrong about this. He's saying, well, if you don't take Obamacare, that's a sin. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. There's nothing in the Bible that says that someone can force you to do something with your own body against what God would have you to do or to control you. What is that? It's a step to get them. You know, why do they want access to your medical records? Why do they want to control the medical? Why? Why do you think they do? Why would government want to control the medical? Why would they? Oh, I don't know, because you can do a lot when you can affect somebody's person. You can do a whole lot with that. But anyway, if you understand Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God and understand what Romans 13 is actually saying. All of it is about good, evil, good, evil, good, evil, good, evil. All the way through, read it yourself, good, evil. You're not to follow a multitude to do evil. Well, the government says I have to do this, so I guess I'm going to have to do it. Yeah, but it's evil. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway because the government said. And you have to obey the powers that be. They're ordained of God. Really? Well, you don't really understand that text, do you? Because God says good, evil, good, evil, all the way through there. And government's not to be a terror unto good works, but to the evil. And then he explains it in the end of that chapter. He explains it. I've already preached on that many times to you guys. I'm not going to go through that again. There's three sermons on Romans chapter 13 that I've preached online. You can listen to those yourself sometime if you don't remember them or you haven't listened to them. But the second half of that Romans chapter 13 explains what it's about. It's about being a good citizen and about obeying God's law, his moral law, the second table of the law, not giving undying allegiance and submission to the federal government or the state government. That's a setup, folks. That is a setup. When people Hitler preached the same thing. He preached Romans 13 to people. Same thing. And that's what's being preached now from a lot of pulpits, the same version of it. It's not biblical. It's not right. But it's setting people up to take the mark. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of these pastors have marched their people right into a FEMA camp. Like the Pied Piper, straight in there. Amen. I'm telling you, they would. I mean, some folks have said there's a list of FEMA pastors out there that will actually do that. 501c3 corporations that'll do what they're being told to do. Now, I don't believe all will, but I believe some will. I believe many will. Remember, something's going to cause and trigger a great falling away. It's going to reveal some things. That's what persecution does. It reveals some things. By the way, the early church was persecuted. The churches through the Middle Ages were persecuted. Why do we believe that the churches in the end times won't be persecuted? Oh no, we're just going to skate gloriously into heaven and not have any problems at all. Because we deserve it, because we're Americans. I'm not saying everybody feels that way, okay? What I'm saying though, that preaches that, that is pre-trib, I'm just saying, but that's the mindset that we have today. Why should we suffer? Because he's worthy, that's why. He's worth it. Amen? He's worth it. Anyway, so when the government tells these people, Romans 13, you know, follow the government, take the mark, I believe many of them will. Because I don't believe they're saved. I believe our churches are full of lost people today. I really do believe that. I really do. Much of our churches are full of lost people today. I believe that. When you see the discussions that I have with people that are supposed to be born again believers, and they try to preach me a gospel that might change you, but nothing guaranteed, that's the scariest thing I ever heard in my life. I told them they got ripped off. I said, I don't want what you got. I don't want it for a million years. I wouldn't take it for anything in the world. What you're selling, I ain't buying. How about another thing? We're going to talk about technology and things here in a second. But that is a prep for the mark of the beast. Some technology and some other things that are like that. But you just think about the NSA for a minute. You think about how the fact that everywhere you go and everything that you do is almost being monitored. Every form of communication that you have is being monitored. Well, let me ask you. How can I control buying or selling or trading if I don't know what people are doing? Right? So what is that? It's a prep for you to get used to people spying on you. Right? That's what it is. It's prepping you for you to be accountable to government. So you'll just take the mark. People just take it. Well, you know, we got to be accountable. I mean, you know, this is the way it is. No, it's not. People need privacy. Everybody has something to hide. Amen? That's why everybody's wearing clothes here. Amen? Because we all got something to hide. Amen. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's not a very hard principle to understand. What, do you got something to hide? Yeah, a whole lot. Don't you? Huh? No, we want to put cameras in your home. Put cameras on the street corner. Put cameras everywhere, everywhere you go, and see into your vehicles and everything. Why? What is that? What do you believe that is? That's prepping for the mark. Prepping for you to be accountable to people, to government, always, and not to question that. And for them to know exactly what you're doing every day. Accountability. To know exactly what's going on. So we monitor all your phone calls, all your text messages, and communication efforts. Could you imagine if you were having a conversation with somebody over a phone and then all of a sudden, or a message or something, and all of a sudden that breaks in the NSA and says this communication is being terminated. Was my communication terminated? Is the Google Plus off? Are you serious? The signal went out. Can you get it back on or what? Wow. This wasn't even planned. At least by me. Did it start back up again? Do you need me to look at it? Yeah. Yeah, I know that. I don't think that was an accident. I'm not getting spooky on you. I just don't believe it was an accident. I used this the other day just fine over here. Wow. Well, we still got the recording on though, right? It wouldn't be this interesting if it wasn't for the topic. Well, let's keep going here, okay? Let me get to where I was at here. All right. Well, anyway, so how else would the Antichrist be able to control everything? He's not God, so he does need all the technology possible to be able to hear everything, to be able to see everything, and to be able to control and monitor what he wants to. So, he's going to use technology. How about this? How about the banking system? Think about this for a minute here. That all of our purchases are now tracked online. If you buy something on a credit card, they can find you wherever you go. They can find you through your purchases on your credit card. They can find you. What's that? Right. Some of them have an RFID in them. We're going to talk about the RFID here in a second. Just a few years ago, I remember TCF Bank had a thumbprint scanner. Do you remember that? When you went up to Cub Foods or whatever, they had a thumbprint there, and you just stuck your thumbprint in there, and you could go and you could charge anything you wanted to. Now that's your right thumb. Okay? Pressed in there. Boy, that's not the mark, but boy, that's pretty close, isn't it? Boy, that's pretty close to making sense, isn't it? How I can buy and sell with this? Yeah, with my thumb. Right. Retina scans and everything. Yeah, that's another one. How about the FDIC or the Federal Reserve System? All of the setups that we have, FDIC is insurance, Federal Reserve Bank is a private banking cartel. And how about those systems? Easy to control. In America, there's just basically one financial system. Then you go over to Europe, and they have the common market over there that they do business. Now, they're all the same players, really. But anyway, it's getting easier. And then you have a call for a one-world currency. Well, what is that being set up for? Well, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Everybody has the same currency around the world. And it's all with that mark. Tells what you have. And you can buy and you can sell and you can trade with that mark. In your right hand or in your forehead. You see how close it's coming? You see how close it's coming? By the way, I declined that service. I didn't do the thumbprint thing. That was kind of weird anyway. I was like, nah, I don't think so. But it's all gearing up for it. They're narrowing down the system, making you think, well, this is the only way I can do it. This is it. How about technology that's being used? RFID chips in animals. That was the first stage, was in animals. Now they're in humans. They were just in animals before. Now they're in human beings. Let's chip animals so we can track them better. Let's chip your children so in case somebody steals them, we'll know where your children are at. So we'll put a microchip in their right hand. Why? Here's what they use those RFID chips for. Inventory control, equipment tracking, out-of-bed detection and fall detection, personal tracking, ensuring that patients receive the correct medications and medical devices, preventing the distribution of counterfeit drugs and medical devices, monitoring patients, providing data for electronic medical record systems. I mean, do you realize what they're saying here? Well, here's how they sell it to you. Well, Brother Paul, you'll never get the wrong medicine. And you won't be able to buy counterfeit medicine. Well, what's counterfeit medicine? Counterfeit medicine will be anything you need that they don't want you to have. That's what counterfeit medicine is. That's how that works. Controlling every aspect of it through a microchip. To know where you're at and what you're doing. Listen to this article. There's an article. I want to read you this article. And the reason why is these young college kids thought it was trendy to get RFID chips put in them. So they have this. I can send you the video if you want to see it tonight. It's only about 5 minutes long. But they're bragging and they're all excited about having RFID chips sunk into their right arm. Yeah, so they're doing a live demonstration on this video of inserting somebody with an RFID chip. And listen to what they say. The practical appeal of an RFID implant, in theory, is quick authentication, that's faster, cheaper, and more reliable than other biometrics, like thumbprints or facial scans. When the chip is hit with a radio frequency signal, it emits a unique identifier number that functions like a long, unguessable password. Implantees like Andrew imagine the ability to unclutter their pockets of keys and key cards and instead access their cars, computers, and homes with a mere wave of the hand. Now, are you catching on to what I said earlier today? They're going to want to take this. They're going to want to take this. Why? It'll be trendy and cool. Hey, I like electronic devices. I've got a bunch of them. I've got an iPhone. I've got this. But see, you're going to see here what they want to do is put it on you, but shall be in you. Now, you'll get that in a second. The practical appeal. Okay, so Andrew says he initially hoped to use his RFID implant instead of the HID identity card his office uses for entry, but wasn't deterred from the injection when Grastrita told him that the HID uses a proprietary system whose chips he couldn't implant. I don't have anything specific in mind now, but I don't know when I'd had another opportunity to do it, says Andrew. It's a good excuse to start learning more about RFID, so go ahead and inject me with it. Another young hacker who underwent the procedure at Tour Camp said he hopes to install a RFID access system at the door of his local hackerspace. A young woman with a small collection of rings and studs in her ears compares her new implant to aesthetic body modifications like piercings and tattoos or even the fringer culture of erotic needle play. I guess I have an interest in my body's responses to pain and response to pain and modification, she says. There's a certain thrill of the new. I mean, it's a great thing. She's really excited about putting that in there. Do you see what I mean? Do you see how, look at the mindset. Okay, take this mark and you'll be able to buy and sell, worship the beast and everything will be yours. Okay. That's what they're, okay, no problem. It's cool. Right. There is a certain thrill of the new. For Grafasta himself, the chips are more than a novelty or a hacker hobby. He uses them to access his home near Seattle, to turn on his motorcycle, to open a safe in his house, even to authenticate into his phone Samsung Galaxy Nexus that's capable of near-field communications. See, it's going to be trendy. See, this has it too, but I didn't activate it. This has a thumbprint, I mean, and I didn't activate it. I just use a password instead of that because I didn't want to do it. But this phone has a biometrics in it if you want to use it, and you can program your thumbprint into that phone. I didn't. And you just touch it and it'll open up to whatever. Nobody else can access your phone but you. It's like having a password, but where's the password? This is the password. You are. They want to link this with this. You get it? They want to bring these two together. Not just on you, but in you. And I'll get to that in a second. He says here he had his first chip installed in 2005 by a doctor client on his IT service firm and has since become one of few vocal RFID body implant evangelists. Chronicling his experiences with the chip on his website and in a book, RFID Toys. The enthusiasm of hackers like those at Tour Camp for the implants may seem a bit surprising. Privacy advocates have long warned that the chips could allow individuals to be tracked by governments and corporations, even when they're merely housed in passports or clothing, not to mention injected subcutaneously. But Grifosta says that the chips he's implanting are difficult to read, more than a few inches away. And he argues the idea of someone trying to read his chip in order to spoof its signal and access his house or other property is far less of a threat than other potential privacy invasions. If someone manages to read this, it's just as if they found a piece of paper with a number on the ground, he says. For any kind of attack, they would have to also know me and where I live and want to gain access to the things I've enabled. There are easier ways to do that, like breaking into my window. But the article goes on to say that hasn't stopped privacy advocates and religious types from attacking Grifosta as a harbinger of evil. Some link in his hand chip with the Bible's mark of the beast, a number stamped by the devil on his hand and heads in the book of Revelation. Grifosta ignores their emails or responds politely. Some people view the body as a sacred temple, he says. Some view it as a sports utility vehicle they can upgrade. I'm definitely in the second category. Are you seeing what he said there? He said a sports utility vehicle that I can upgrade. That was loud. He is saying basically what? Those RFID chips are going to make us go to the next level. We're going to get better. The mark of the beast is going to make us better. The technology is going to make us better. Better than God created us. We'll be like gods. We'll be better. You getting it? Are you catching how it's... So you see, what do people think though? Oh no. They're going to stick a gun to your head. They're going to force you. This is how it's going to be. No. No. Deceit. Deception. This will make you better. Look at the movie industry and how they express and how they show like things like Iron Man. Well, when the iron mixed with the clay, man, it got better. Man, it got better when the iron mixed with the clay. How about this? Remember the Bionic Man? The $6 million man? $6 million man? Six? Remember? Six. Why six? Why six? Why iron mixed with clay? Why six? Why was he like a god? He could stand on the ground. And they'd play that funny little music thing they play when he jumps. Remember that thing? That thing! You did it! You're Steve Austin! You're the $6 million man! But he would jump, and he'd jump, and he'd just jump up a building. Now with inflation, he'd have to be the $60 million man today, probably, but, I mean, but still the six. They wouldn't lose the six for anything, would they? Right. Six zeros in million there. But anyway, so as you see, what is it? It's all, you're going to get better. Yeah. I mean, you want to be better, don't you? You want to live forever, don't you? You want to live forever. Even so, he says, Tour Camp Implantation Station was a one-off. Outside of the camp's community of hacking and experimentation, he worries that the risk of unhappy customers be too high. I trust that people here have put a little thought into it and know that they're getting into, he says. For everyone else, I recommend you contact your local piercing artist. These people are thrilled to have this implanted in them. Do you see that? They think it's trendy and cool.
Yeah.
It's not the mark, but it sure is prepping for it. Mobile devices and internet devices are begin to use to prep. Interfacing with computers is the name of the game. With this cell phone, this iPhone 5S, they want you to go ahead and just program your thumb. You could do a series of it. I could do it right now. I don't have it activated, but I could do it right now, and I could put my thumbprint here to where my child could grab my phone or somebody else could grab my phone and they could not use it. It would do nothing. They could do nothing with it. Why? Because they don't have the key. The key is locked in here. Ever so closely to locking it in with my DNA. Right? My fingerprint. Biometrics. Locking it in. Now, watch this. We'll keep going here for a second here. Mobile devices, internet devices, interfacing with computers, instant access to online and billions of people is the name of the game. First, we had computers that would allow us to go online and have access to billions. Now we have smartphones that we carry around in our pockets that have instant access. Now we have Google Glasses. You know what those are? You take these glasses, these Google glasses, and you put them on, and take pictures, upload them online. You can have access to all that stuff right there. Now that's on you right now. This way. Okay? Closer. One step closer. They want the complete interface. Remember, Jesus said that about the Holy Ghost, he said, he shall be with you and shall be in you. That's what they want. Next, you'll have an implant in the arm or the forehead. I wonder if I'm going to be able to pull this up. I might not be able to. Let's see. I do have it right here. All right. Here's the next stage. The Google founder here, one of the Google experts, he claims we'll be uploading our entire minds to computers by 2045, and our bodies will be replaced by machines within 90 years. Oh, come on. You're just look at the picture that they use. Yeah, see that? It's the picture they use. Now, let's see what they say. In just over 30 years, humans will be able to upload their entire minds to computers and become digitally immortal. Have you ever heard that before? Genesis chapter 3, 46 words that Satan spoke to Eve. That's 46 chromosomes, 23 male, 46 chromosomes, 46 words. What did he say to her? In the gist, he said, and ye shall be as gods. Ye shall not surely die. But God doth know that then the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods. This is Satan's promise to Eve. Ray Kurzweil, director of engineering at Google, also claims that the biological parts of our body will be replaced with mechanical parts, and this could happen as early as 2100. Kurzweil made the claims during his conference speech at the Global Futures 2045 International Congress in New York at the weekend. Ray Kurzweil, the conference was created by Russian multimillionaire Dmitry Itskov and featured visionary talks about how the world will look by 2045. Kurzweil said, based on conservative estimates of the amount of computation you need to functionally simulate a human brain, we'll be able to expand the scope of our intelligence a billionfold. Do you see what they're saying? You're going to be smarter. Eve, God doth know that the day you eat thereof, that you'll know between good and evil. You're going to know things, Eve. You're going to be like God. You just need to do this, Eve, and you're going to be just like God. And God knows that. And he doesn't want you to be that way. Why? Who wants to be that way? Satan. He wants to be like the Most High. He wants to ascend above the clouds. He wants to be like the Most High. He said, based on conservative estimates on the amount of computation you need to expand the scope of our intelligence a billionfold. He referred to Moore's law that states the power of computing doubles on average every 2 years, quoting the developments from genetic sequences and 3D printing. In Kurzweil's book, The Singularity is Near, he plots this development and journey towards singularity in a graph. The singularity is also referred to as a digital immortality because brains and persons' intelligence will be digitally stored forever, even after they die. He also added this will be possible through neural engineering and referenced the recent strides made towards modeling the brain and technologies which can replace biological functions. Examples of such technology given by live science include the cochlear implant, an implant that is attached to the brain's cochlear nerve and electronically stimulates it to restore hearing to someone who is deaf. Other examples include technology that can restore motor skills after the nervous system is damaged. Earlier this year, the doctors from Cornell University used 3D printing to create a prosthetic ear using cells of cartilage. Do you know what they're doing? Do you get what they're doing? See, the Bible says that your DNA is a book. Okay, that's what it is. Your DNA is a book. And the Bible talks about all your members are written. Everything is written and fashioned in that book. Okay, it's all there. And see, what are they trying to do? No, they're trying to unlock the book. Well, what are they going to do when they unlock the book? They want to perfect the book. See, they want to be, Satan is the third strand of that DNA. He's the third strand that comes up. He wants to fix you. We got to fix you. We got to fix man and make him immortal. We got to make man better. We got to make him as a god. You'll be immortal. Are you following me? Is this making sense to you? Or do you just think I'm crazy or something here? Or are you getting this, what this is saying here? Folks, this isn't a Baptist preacher up here saying this. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is a normal ad from the head of Google Engineering. This is not a guy he's probably a cultic, obviously, but he's not a guy that's got an agenda for Christ, okay? This is a guy out there that's being led to do something. What did he do? He said a solid plastic mold was printed and then filled with high density collagen gel. The researchers then added cartilage cells into the collagen matrix. Oh, really? Kurzweil was invited to the conference because he has previously written books around the idea of singularity. Expanding on this idea, Martin Rothblatt, the CEO of biotech company United Therapeutics, introduced the idea of mind clones. These are digital versions of humans that can live forever and can create mind files that are placed to store aspects of our personalities. I mean, I couldn't make this up. Are you listening to this? I couldn't make this up. There are digital versions of humans that live forever and can create mind files that are placed to store aspects of our personalities. She said it would run on a kind of software for consciousness. Oh, my goodness. They sure are, aren't they? Boy, do you people really hate God that much? Do they really hate God that much? Yes, they do. Yes, they are deceived. And Satan does hate him that much. The first company that develops the mindware will have as much success as 1,000 Googles. Rothblatt added that the presence of mindware could lead to replacing other parts of the body with non-biological parts. This is a concept that Kurzweil also discussed and was the basis of his book, Fantastic Voyage. In this book, he discusses immortality and how he believes the human body will develop. He said, we're going to become increasingly non-biological to the point where the non-biological part dominates and the biological part is not important anymore. See? You see, they believe it more than Baptist preachers do. See, they believe these end times are coming and the wickedness of it is mounting more than most Christians do. They know what's coming. They know what they have planned. They believe it. We'll also have non-biological bodies. We can create bodies with nanotechnology. We can create virtual bodies in virtual reality in which the virtual reality will be as realistic as the actual reality. Man, that was like a tongue twister or something. I don't even know what he said there. I don't want to know. The virtual bodies will be as detailed and convincing as real bodies. We do need a body. Our intelligence is directed towards a body, but it doesn't have to be this frail biological body that is subject to all kinds of failure modes. Oh, man, this is rich. Oh, man, I'm telling you, you couldn't make this up. This is the mindset of the age of Aquarius. This is what these people believe. This is Satan telling Eve that she could ascend to godhood. It's the same thing. It's just, it's getting closer. You know, you won't be subject to all the kinds of failure modes that your body has. He's talking like your body is a machine. Are you catching this? Your machine, and we'll fix it. Who will fix it? The beast will fix it for you. He'll fix it. But I think we'll have a choice of bodies. We'll certainly be routinely changing our parent body through virtual reality. And today you can have a different body in something like Second Life. But it's just a picture on the screen. Research has shown that people actually begin to subjectively identify with their avatar. My goodness, these people are nuts. They are so satanic, it's sick. But in the future, it's not going to be a little picture in a virtual environment you're looking at. It will feel like this is your body, and you're in that environment. Your body is that virtual body, and it can be as realistic as real reality. So we'll be routinely able to change our bodies very quickly as well as our environments. If we had radical life extension, only we would get profoundly bored and we would run out of a thing to do and new ideas. In addition to radical life extension, we're going to have radical life expansion. We're going to have million of virtual environments to explore. That we're going to literally expand our brains. Right now, we only have 300 million patterns organized in a grand hierarchy that we create ourselves. But we could make that 300 billion or 300 trillion. The last time we expanded it with the frontal cortex, we created language and art and science. Just think of the qualitative leaps we can't even imagine today when we expand our near cortex again. So, what they're saying to you is you just go ahead and upload your brain and completely interface with that computer, and it'll be cool. It'll be wonderful. Do you see how none of this stuff will be a problem? Like nobody's going to – the people that are deceived, that are under this deception, they're not going to be like – they're not going to hate taking that. They're going to be fine with it. Right. So you can ascend to godhood. Man, you can live forever. You don't have to worry about that old book, that old Bible that tells you that you don't need, you don't worry about that. Listen, the beast, he'll take care of all that for you. Well, that's technology. Now let's move on here and we'll close down here on this one here. The occult is prepping for the mark as well. The occult is prepping people. They're showing you the mark and they're showing you who they serve. Okay, now I'm going to show you a series of pictures of where they are actually showing you, then I'll explain to you. First of all, let me explain to you what this is. The man and machine mixing together movies that we've seen, those are all, I mean, I've went over some of those with the Iron Man, the other one, Superman, Man of Steel, okay? All of these, I mean, what are they doing? They're showing you things. Superman's S on it is a serpent. It's a serpent. The hexagram is used by all of the occult and all the false religions. They use this as a symbol of who they really serve, of who their Christ really is. And I'm going to show you this in a second here. But let's just take what the witches say about the hexagram. Two witches explain further that the hexagram was used as a standby for magicians and alchemists. The sorcerers believed it represented the footprint of a special kind of demon called Trud, and used it in ceremonies both to call up demons and to keep them away. Symbols, and listen to what Manly Hall said, his Secret Teachings of All Ages, he wrote a book on that, and a few other books here, but this is what he says. Symbols are auricular. Auricular, did I say that right? O-R-A-C-U-L-A-R. Auricular? I think that sounds right. Anyway, mysterious patterns creating vortices in the substances of the invisible world. They are centers of a mighty force, figures pregnant with an awful power, which when properly fashioned, loose fiery whirlwinds upon the earth. Manly Hall. He was an occultist. He was a Mason. He was in basically every occult you can imagine. However, what is this sign? Oh, wait, I've got one scripture for you. Turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 43. Acts chapter 7, verse number 43. I showed Brother Paul this earlier. He's going to give me a cookie because of it. Oh, wait, I already ate the banana pudding. Boy, that stuff was good, wasn't it? He's talking to Israel here in Acts chapter 7, he's preaching this sermon here. And he says here in verse number 42, "Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Remphan. Figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." Well, what's that star of Remphan? And that's the hexagram, okay? That's what that is. And that symbol is in every major false religion and cult you can imagine. Here's the first one. I believe this is Hindu here. I know it looks like Roman Catholicism, doesn't it? But it isn't. Can you see that? This is the first one. Do you see the hexagram there? Do you see the sign? You see the 1, 2, 3, 4, well, you got to read the triangle and then the other triangle. Do you see it? As is above, so is below. You see that? You catch that? Can you see it back there or no? Can you see it? As is above, so is below. 3 points, 3 points. See that? Make sense? Yep, it is. All right. So, next one. That's just weird, isn't it? Look at that baby in there. You see that halo? You see that little, Shekinah? Yeah, we'll talk about that. That right there. That's the sign of Saturn. The sign of Saturn. You know how Saturn has the ball and then it has the ring around it? Yeah. Well, that's basically these people, that's their tip off to Satan. That's what that is. Okay? See that? That's what that is. Anyway, and he's got one or she's got one. See, they always look androgynous. You don't know what they really are. Is it a woman? Is it a man? What are you? Sorry. I keep forgetting there's somebody over there. I'm ruining that piano recital. Oh, who's this? Anybody recognize this one? There you go. That's who that is. That's the star of Remphan. The tabernacle of Moloch, the star of Remphan, your God. Remember when he said that to him? Yeah, that's satanic. Yeah, that's a satanic sign. That's not the Star of David. David doesn't have... Where do you see a Star of David that looks like that? Where'd that come from? It's kind of like people that say the Shekinah glory. Well, where'd that come from? Where do you see that at? Do you see that in the New Testament anywhere? No. Do you see it in the Old Testament? No. Is it in Hebrew? No. Is it in Greek? No. Where does it come from? It comes from the Kabbalah. It's a spiritual, wicked, harlot, little devil is what it is that people call the Shekinah glory. That is the female male deity. That is the sons of God, the daughters of men. It is wicked. Shekinah is, anyway. You got to look that up. But anyway. Okay, here we go. Check this out. Hexagons in religion, the Seal of Solomon. Masonry, can you see back there? Pretty much. I can try to blow it up. Oh, I can't blow it up. Oh, you can. Whoa, look at that. Okay. Star of David. Chrismon. Yeah, chrism. What's that? Yeah, they call it the Star of David. Yeah, they do. Well, they got to call it something to make it sound good. Buddhist. I never can say this one. The Gaudiya Maha. Mata. Whatever. Anyway, I don't know. Who's Samuel? He's probably chanting it. Can you see that over here? You see all these signs? They're all the same. Well, why are they all this? Why do they all have 666? Why do they all have that? Why do all of these religions have the same sign? It's really weird, isn't it? This is on an Islamic temple. Yeah, it is. It's his number. See it? Islamic temple? What's that doing there? Hey! You find this on your dollar, if you trace it, it's all right there. Of course, you have the all-seeing eye up there, but that doesn't mean anything. Pay no attention to the all-seeing eye. It means nothing. God bless America. Which God? I didn't circle those. What? Those are... Well, this is the star, but you have to read it. You can read it. They're letters. A-S-N-O-M. Yeah. Yep. This is Freemasonry. Same sign. Yeah, well, they have that. Yeah, they have the compass and the square too. But this is sons of God, daughters of men. That's opposites. That's always what that means. As is above, so is below. Same thing. That's the point. This is the national sign, or excuse me, shrine of the Immaculate Conception, the largest Catholic cathedral in the United States of America. Oh, what's that doing there? They're just advertising for their God. That's all they're doing. See, I'm not one of those preachers who says, yeah, I believe there's going to be a lot of Catholics in heaven. See, I don't. I think they're all going to hell if they follow this. Because I don't think they're saved. Because those people are going to take the mark. A billion of them. And you need to call people to repentance. And get out of that cult, because that's what it is. It's rotten. It's wicked. It's the mother of all harlots. It's the spiritual whore. And then there's Roman Catholicism. This is the Pope's hat. One of them. Pay no attention to the golden hat. You Americans are just greedy and need to give more money. No wonderful Rome's worth billions of dollars. Trillions. Trillions that they stole from people. And they have all their thrones and all their stuff there, and then they talk about greedy capitalists and greedy Americans. Is it not the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life? Okay, yeah, sure. Whatever. But this is their God. This is who they follow. Oh, look at this. This is what Lee wanted to see. Oops, sorry, Lee. That was a little too close. Actually, there's eight of these. There might be eight of these points, but this is a, when you type in yoga and you put this image in there, that's what you get. See the image? Don't let people feel your chakras or your auras, okay? Those are yours. You tell them no, okay? You leave my aura out of this, lady. But and don't touch my chakras either. Leave me alone. But that's the charismatic movement. Here's what the charismatic movement likes to do. You see this point right here? They want to take this point right here and they want to hit you right there. They want to hit you in your third eye. They want to open up your eye of enlightenment. They want to enlighten you. Yeah, see?
Well, what do you suppose they have the same symbol for anyway?
This is the Kabbalah. See it? Jewish mysticism. That's what that is. See, it's the same. It is bad. And this is the Buddhists or the Hindus. I can't remember which one it is. But do you see how... Hindu. I think this one's Hindu. The other one's Buddhist. But this one's Hindu.
Do you see how it's all the same?
The symbols are all the same. Is that starting to... You see the connection? Excuse me, Brother Paul. See that? They're all the same. Why are they all the same? Because they all serve the same master. That's why. Everything's the same. Here we go. How about the Mormon temple? Here's the hexagram on the Salt Lake Assembly Hall. Yeah. Well, what's that doing there? Bunch of perverts. They're all a bunch of perverts too. All these cults, these Masonic. I mean, they're perverted. The Mormons, and I mean, they're a bunch of perverts. Bunch of perverts. So anyway, that's the Mormon temple, and they always have a Masonic sign on these Mormon temples. I think the Masons build the temples. That's why. I'll tell you something. How about Aleister Crowley's cult? He had his own. He made his own special symbol. But Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law. The one that reached the fourth dimension a long time ago, 100 years ago or so, 150 years ago. Aleister Crowley, that's his. Thelema, that's his. That was his cult. Witchcraft, they have theirs. They make their circles. Hey, here's the Pope's Saturn hat. You know, Saturn, the planet Saturn is a high occultic. They all worship the planet Saturn, and they have symbols of Saturn on them. Saturn is the sixth planet from the sun. So, Pope Benedict wears his Saturnal hat, inspired by the ringed planet Saturn to shield him from the sun as he waves to his pilgrims there. This is Pope Benedict. I mean, that's his. David Koresh. Remember Koresh in Waco? He had his ring with his symbol on it. This is interesting. I thought this was interesting here. ISIS. You have Google glasses. Now they have something called ISIS, which brings advanced augmented reality to normal-looking glasses. So, yeah, they actually call it ISIS. You know, you know why they're calling it that. That's their cult. Yeah, right. They don't see. They're not like Christians. They're bold. They really believe what they preach, don't they? They really believe it. Amen. That's why we shouldn't shy away. That's why we got to confront and preach hard and not be ashamed of what we believe, because they're going to do it. Okay. Now they all also have the all-seeing eye, which is a sign of their cultic. The hexagram. It's still picturing the same thing. When you see this triangle, you're going to see it's the same 666 design. That's what they're doing. That's what they're after. The all-seeing eye likens them to be the same. This is a Masonic temple. This is the Masons. See the eye up there? Okay, the eye's up there, the all-seeing eye of illumination. Going to illuminate you. Just like that guy said, man, you'll be a billion times smarter when you upload your brain. Mason symbols in Mormonism. There it is, right there. Yep. See that? Yeah. Then you have the old Egyptian, Isis, Osiris, Horus, the Eye of Horus. There you see it right there, the eye everywhere. It's always been there, that's what they believe. And that weirdo Aleister Crowley. He's making a symbol with that when he does that. On his book, he's got the star too on his book right there. His book of the law, it's called. And then obviously the Mormon temple, the U.S. dollar. Hey, Lord of Rings. Oh. The Buddha's all-seeing eye and the Masonic apron. This one was on a letter that a movie star sent out. She put this on there. Showing you who her God was, just so you, in case you didn't know. The movie National Treasure was a open advertisement for Freemasonry. They made Freemasonry look like it was just a boys' club of neat people that had secrets. When they weren't. That's not who they are. They're a bunch of satanic devils. I mean, the high-level ones that understand it, anyway. CBS says they're all-seeing eye. What are these? Just preparing you. Hey, you recognize this guy? Carlos Santana? He's showing you who his God is. Rock stars, they show you. Jay-Z, all those guys, same all-seeing eye, everything else. Hey, this is a Roman Catholic church. Well, they call it a church, they're cult. But anyway, see that all-seeing eye above the cross? See that? Well, what would that be doing there? See it? What would that be doing there? That's weird. Because they all serve the same God, that's why. That's why it's there. See it? This is ancient. They found this. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. I think I'm almost done. Okay, and this right, I'm almost done with this, and then we'll close out here. But this right here shows that they cover up that right eye. Do you remember the scriptures that did I tell you the idol shepherd? With his right eye out? Idol. I-D-O-L. Not idol, I-D-L-E, but an idol. Got it? That's not a mistake in the Bible. Amen? These are rock stars that they openly advertise what they believe. Just want you to see that. They want you to know what they believe. That's Woody Harrelson covering up his eye and putting another eye there. Mm-hmm. Then there's Ten Commandments that Samuel seen. Then there's an all-seeing eye above the commandments. You see that? Well, what they mean by it is, yeah, they want to keep you in bondage to those commandments. See that? What's that? Oh, did it? What happened? Hey, there we go, Ten Commandments. See the all-seeing eye? Why? Well, because that's what they believe. That's right. They're going to go above God and then... I mean, there's a lot of other ones. I mean, there's so many. But anyway, in every one of those cults, they have the hexagram. You'll find them in everything. The movie stars have them. They show them. These other cults, they show them. Why? What? Because they're advertising. That's their mark. That's what they believe. And their mark is there. So you see, they're already conditioning people to accept that. They're already conditioning that in this world today. This is what they're doing. So we need to understand that. They're advertising what they believe. The Pope, all of them, the Roman Catholic Church, it's a big, nasty, Babylonian, mother of all harlots cult. It is the mother of all false religions. It is the mother of all false gods. It is the great whore. And all of her children advertise the same thing, and they all believe the same thing. And we don't have time to get into Jesuits and all those other things, but listen, it goes deep. But there's so much to it. So understand that people are, by the technology standpoint and everything else, they're going to think it's cool to take the mark. They're going to think it's cool. The ones that resist, that figure out the truth, yeah, they'll probably die for their faith. They will. The Bible says so. They'll die for following Christ. Amen? Just like people did in the Middle Ages, just like the first Christian brethren did, amen? Just like all the apostles did, they died too for what they believed and who they loved. Amen? So anyway, I just understand that so that we're being prepared for that. Now, not to mention the rock stars, the movies, the advertisements. I mean, Radio Shack has 666 advertisement in hexagrams that you can see them, their visuals, what they're doing. That's all that stuff is there. It's all in plain sight. You can see those. There's many of them. A lot of advertising, churches that advertise things like that, that have those symbols on there. I've seen them. Yep. And a lot of them are getting into a lot of New Age stuff. Lots of it. But so use, think about it. I mean, do your own research and look at some of these things, but you're going to find that most of them, they all have these symbols for a reason. It's like the New King James Bible has that triple helix, that triquetra. And they say that represents God. No, God said don't make any images to represent me. There is no image that represents me. He said that. He said, don't make an image and worship it. And don't make an image of me. Don't carve an image of me. Don't make an image of me. So what's on the New King James Bible when you look at it? A triquetra. And they say, oh, that represents God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No, it doesn't. Because God said it doesn't. God said there's nothing like that in the Scriptures. But they make it up. And they correct the Bible. That's what they do. So these symbols have meaning, and they're using them for a purpose because they're advertising what they believe and who they're following. And Rome easily advertised who they follow. It's just people have to be smart enough and wise enough to see it. But they are Mystery Babylon, the mother of all harlots. Amen. All right, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, Lord. We just pray you'd bless us. Give us a good week. Give us safety, Lord. We pray you take care of us and meet our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.